Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Final hour of power coming up right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Lenoe Willingham, Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. Legal tampering period gets underway Monday in the National Football League. Washington already with a flurry of moves as they get ready for free agency to begin. Right now we're joined on the guest hotline by our pal Ben Standing of The Athletic. Ben, what is going on, my man? Happy free agency season.
Yeah, you know, you never know when something's going to happen, as we found out about 20 minutes ago with the John Allen news. So, yeah, we just got to stay on your toes now.
So I want to follow up on the John Allen thing. Obviously, this is something that was anticipated. Washington, you know, clears some cap space with this move. The injury history last year, I think, you know, impacted this. The production over the past 2 years haven't been there. When you look at how Washington's addressing the position moving forward, though, Ben, do you think they're comfortable going into week one with Daron Payne and Johnny Newton as they're starting two defensive linemen on the interior? Or do you anticipate them looking for a different type of starter?
yes and no. I mean, you know, we talk about the starters a lot. Like, okay, like say on the offensive line, if we say who the starters are, barring injury, they're going to play every snap, right? The defensive line is different. Typically nobody's playing 90% or more of the snaps, not even necessarily 80 consistently. So if Payne and Newton are saying playing 70% of the snaps, that leaves another 60 that they currently have nobody to fill in because all their guys are free agents. So depending on what they look at, they could decide, hey, we want to shoot for the moon a little bit more and get somebody that we could start now, but also have after this year when Daron Payne likely or may, I should say, suffer the same fate that John Allen did today after this year, or they just need depth. Maybe it's re-signing guys like Sheldon Day. So that's my only question is, like, what do they view this as? Is there a player they dislike for not just this year but beyond? But, yeah, I mean, beyond that, look, I think Newton looked okay last year. They need to see more production out of him. But, you know, obviously they drafted him in the second round for a reason.
Yeah, but that's going to be my question. Is this more about just a money thing for John and not being able to work something out, or is it because they really have a liking to Johnny Newton and think with a full offseason, you know, fingers crossed of ideal health and not missing time with injury, that he's going to take a really massive step forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, happy with Johnny Newton, but this is definitely more about the money. I mean, this was, you know, one of those things that was obvious, not just over the last couple of weeks, but even like a year or so ago. I mean, John Allen was on the books this year for about $22-23 million on the salary cap. He's going into the final year of his contract. Typically, if you're going into the final year of your deal for a star player, right, you're going to say, hey, kind of wanted to renegotiate this thing, right? Well, okay, Washington, I don't believe, wanted to give him an extension. He's going to turn 30. He's turned 30. They're going to have, as you said, at a minimum, they have Payne and Newton for now already. And they also, though, would want to lower that cap number. So the way to lower the cap number is to do a restructure or renegotiation. But again, if they don't want to extend him, then there's really no point from their end. And Allen's not going to take a pay cut to stay. So, you know, I think it's ultimately more about that. And, you know, look, let's be frank. For almost all these teams, no matter who it is, the executives, the coaches, ultimately always sort of side with guys that they brought in. And I know that, you know, this group has very much had this, you know, brotherly thing going on last year. And, you know, I think Terry McLaurin is going to get an extension and all that. But, I you know, when push comes to shove, if it's not the decision that you made in the first place, it's a little bit easier to separate from.
Ben Standing joins us now on the heels of John Allen being released. The Commanders set to save about $16.5 million against the cap. The other position up front, Ben, that Washington should be strongly considering is defensive end. We know the Trey Hendrickson stuff is out there. The Josh Sweat stuff is out there as well. Like, what do you think from your vantage point, I guess, Ben, is the best way that they should attack that position? Is it giving up capital for Hendrickson, or do you think it's, you know, going out and spending big money on one guy or bringing in a plethora of different guys?
Well, if you told me that, you know, Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett or someone like that were available in free agency, right, where there's no picks involved, you just have to spend the most money, basically, that would be one thing for me. But I've been sort of staunch about saying I just don't see them trading a first-round pick or several picks to get veterans. I understand that we all understand that they've got this unique situation where they've got a lot of momentum off of last year, they've got a lot of salary cap space, and they have this window where Jaden Daniels is still on a rookie contract. But the picks are the picks, and ultimately, you know, this is how they want to build the team, the sort of the spine of the team, and I agree. So, to me, look, everything has a value. If the Bengals are ultimately willing to come down and, you know, if they say, hey, a third-round pick might get it done, all right, well, I guess then we have to, you know, maybe consider it. But, you know, if it's anybody who's wanting in the trade a first, for me, that's going to be a bridge too far. But, you know, look, in free agency, you do have some interesting guys. I think Khalil Mack, to me, is the most interesting. He's, you know, he's up there in age, but he's still highly productive. And, again, he would probably get, like, a 1 or 2 year deal that fits into that Jaden contract timeline. I'm not as high on Josh Sweat, but the other good thing is this draft is loaded with defensive linemen. So, you know,
right, but even I if think, they just sort of right, but I think you got to go into the draft with a solidified, comfortable answer at that spot because there's no guarantee that you're going to get the apple of your eye, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying you could do, you know, you have to look at all the scenarios. I mean, at a fallback spot, they're going to have options at 29, depending on how high they want to go. They have to add, I mean, look, they only have four defensive linemen on the roster now, period, like, mm-hmm. of note. So they've got to bring back some of the guys from last year and some other pieces as well. But, again, it all depends on how they want to spend their money. I mean, again, I wouldn't want to overspend on Josh Sweat, you know, just to say I checked the box. So it depends on what's out there. Yeah.
Is there any interest, do you think, in the older Bosa now that he's gone in Los Angeles? Or does everybody around the league feel like he's a shoo-in to go play with his brother in San Francisco?
Certainly it's a fun storyline, no doubt. You know, there's some questions about where he's at. But, like, you know, just like John Allen, ultimately it's a money thing. You're not going to question Bosa's, you know, desire and energy and all that kind of stuff. And as we saw here last year, that can go a long way, even if, like, you don't have insane numbers. So, you know, like I said, I mean, everybody comes at a certain cost. And, you know, if he's – I don't know what his market's going to be right now. I don't know if teams are viewing him as a prove-it kind of player or if it's more, you know, hey, no, we're ready to roll. Let's give you some good money. So – but also, he's got a little bit of health stuff going on, too. So, yeah, I think he's definitely a name you have to consider for sure.
Ben, one thing that I think will really kind of tell and forecast their moves here is if we knew how they viewed themselves internally. Like, last year was really an anomaly when you think about what they were able to do in the quick turnaround and winning the five consecutive games on the last play of the game. Like, from your vantage point, like, knowing what they have at quarterback, knowing the resources that they have, while also taking into consideration, Ben, the sizable amount of holes that they have and the lack of depth, like, how do you think they're viewing themselves internally in the NFC going into this free agency and draft period?
Yeah, I mean, that's been my main question for the last few weeks, is like, how are we supposed to judge exactly what they are when half the roster is missing? And, you know, other than starting quarterback, I mean, I could justify them signing literally any other position, basically. I mean, it's not that, you know, spending bigger, you know, on almost any other position, but, you know, at least before, say, Bobby Wagner resigned. But, yeah, so that's the challenging part. But, look, this is where the Jaden Daniels part is such a huge deal. When you have a guy like this who appears to be ready to join some of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league, if he hasn't already, you know, some people want to see it one more time at least. You know, that's where this thing is different, because his ability, as we saw last year, to, you know, sort of will this team at times to win, to make one smart play after another at the most important position in the league, that's the difference. Plus, like, because of Jaden Daniels and because of the success last year, you now see players who would never have picked up the phone to think about coming here before are now, you know, openly saying, as Debo Samuel said, that he wanted to come to Washington, that was one of the teams at the top of his list. So, you know, I think that's the part that's interesting. I mean, like I said, if I had to guess at this point, it's hard. It's just awfully tempting to think that you're not close to some degree because of Daniels. But again, this is why I just don't see Peters trading away the other picks, because you can't just go like, we're going all in on the vets. This team, you know, they got to get younger. I mean, this was one of the oldest teams in the league last year to boot. So they still have to build through the draft.
So now they signed Bobby Wagner. Who do you think is next on their top priority of guys keeping in-house?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's always possibility of, like, some smaller name guys, like, if, you know, they just say, hey, Jeremy McNichols, we want you back, and he says, cool, you know, there could be that. But I feel like Zach Ertz has got to be sort of the next main priority, and if not him, then maybe it's his tag team partner, John Bates. I mean, look, I don't know that Ertz is going to have another season where he plays every game.
He was phenomenal, yeah.
And you know, it was such a red zone force, especially toward the end of the year. I don't know that that's realistic, but that said, he, you know, he was an important piece last year. He gave that offense some size, some leadership. He obviously was very good at finding space and Jane Daniels finding him. So I just think you keep him. And then with John Bates, look, the blocking tight end does not often get a lot of attention. But, you know, I think that position, you know, that specific skill set is becoming a bit more valuable around the league as the running game has had a resurgence. And, you know, I think John Bates is pretty effective. I know our guy Logan Paulson raves about him constantly. So, you know, I don't quite know what Ben Sinnott is right now. So until that happens, I think keeping Ertz probably on a 1-year deal and Bates for a multi-year deal, I think would be important for them.
So there's been some different reporting out there surrounding Dolphins safety Javon Holland, 25 years of age, has some decent ball production. Spotrac has him getting $15 million annually. I saw Josina Anderson raise that number up to, you know, close to $17 million annually. How does that impact Jeremy Chinn's market, and how aggressive do you think Washington will be in trying to keep him? Because it seems like we may see Javon Holland maybe reset this market here at safety.
Yeah, I don't know that any resetting of the market is going to affect Jeremy Chinn. I mean, there are some safeties who will be viewed as top 20 players in this class, but I don't think that applies to Jeremy Chinn. I mean, look, his play last year earned him a bigger deal than the one he had last year. I think the question for me for Washington is just simply there are a fair amount of safeties, not even necessarily at the Holland level, but, you know, some other guys below that. I like Trayvon Moehrig from the Raiders, and he was coached by Jason Simmons, who's now Washington's defensive pass game coordinator. You also have, I always butcher his first name, but Hufanga from the 49ers, who was drafted by Adam Peters in the fifth round in 2021. The next year, he's named an all-pro. He's been injured a bit the last 2 years, and that's probably going to lower his value. But, you know, if Peters certainly liked him once, and if he sees, if he buys into the, you know, that this guy's going to be able to be healthy and play, then that may be the way to go. But I don't see them running away from Chinn or anything like that. I just wonder, you know, they may look at the market as well. But obviously Chinn was a pretty valuable piece for them.
You know, I'm glad we're talking secondary. Do you think they're going to make a strong push to keep addressing corner? Obviously they have Marshon Lattimore. They have Mikey. We think that Noah I is going to come back. Are you expecting maybe another, not massive splash, but a splash of some kind in free agency?
Well, I mean, keeping Igbinoghi would be the sort of safest play to, like, have options. Like you know, he should get a little bit of a bump. He did have a pretty good year in the slot last year. Certainly. But, you know, is he willing to, you know, play ball here to stay? But I think the other rub there is, what are they doing with Sanders still? If Sanders still moves back to the slot, which is where he was going, his playing career was heading until Washington just ran out of options on the outside. If they move him back to the inside, is, you know, does Noah I want to stay in a possibly reserve role, or does he have another option to go elsewhere? At that point, you then have to go get another starting outside cornerback, and that's going to get potentially a little pricier again. I just did a mock draft, and I had Washington taking a cornerback in the second round. But, you know, yes, you even need more than that. I don't think St. Juste or Michael Davis are coming back. So right now their cornerbacks are Lattimore, Sandersville, and, like, Bobby Price. So they're going to have to make some plays one way or the other. So it wouldn't surprise me if they spent a decent amount on a corner. I just don't know yet if that's going to be an outside guy or an inside guy.
Yeah, I think they probably look to maybe attack the depth in free agency and then look in the draft for a guy that could potentially push Mikey back to the inside. It's the old Pete Carroll mantra, man. Competition everywhere all the time. I do think they're going to, like you said, bring in some more bodies at that position. It gets fascinating. You bring up Mikey moving back inside. The Brandon Coleman discussion is always fascinating to me as well, because all things considered, with the injuries and then the decorated pass rushers he faced last year, I thought he fared pretty well for himself. Going into free agency in the draft, I have Washington needing another starter at guard and then somebody to compete with Andrew Wiley. How do you kind of see the way that group looks right now?
Right. Well, this is a case where there's wants and availability, I guess. Like, this is a pretty lousy free agency class for tackles, right? You got Ronnie Stanley, who might be the number one free agent around, according to some people, and then it really falls off a cliff. I mean, like, I think I saw a list where, like, no disrespect, but, like, Morgan Moses was, like, the fifth tackle mentioned. Not knocking Morgan Moses, I'm just saying we don't typically view him as one of the better guys out there. So I think that's going to be part of the rub. I personally, you know, I asked both Peters and Quinn about, is Coleman essentially the left tackle next year? And neither one of them said definitely he is, which you kind of think they would if a second-year player is going to be the guy, right? I mean, you promote that.
I mean,
doesn't mean they're going to move him, but to me, he suggests that they're open to it. But again, who are you getting? At 29, yeah, there looks like there could be some tackles there, but, you know, you can't presume that automatically. So I think potentially adding a guard and spending more there could be the best path. You know, look, Nick Allegretti was fine last year, but, you know, I think they can upgrade there. And, you know, they're already going to be missing Cosme for at least some amount of time going into the year. So I can imagine they would like to get some more talent and tackle. The rub is, I just don't think this is a great year in free agency to do that. And therefore, you know, I can see them taking a flyer on, like, a guy like a Jedrick Willis, a former first-round pick who hasn't really developed. But that's the problem. So Coleman may, in my head, at least stay at left tackle by default, or at least until they get to the draft and we're able to add somebody there to take that spot.
Ben, you're a smart guy. Who do you use to properly give you a cap number? Because SpotRack and Over the Cap have two very different numbers after this John Allen deal. Which one do you find to be more accurate?
Well, first of all, you don't have to, kiss my you-know-what. I'm already on the show, done. Well, so typically, I mean, I would say Over the Cap is viewed as the better option. Now, I don't know if they've changed anything in the last half hour to an hour. I believe they already included the Deebo Samuel trade, even though it's not official, I think. So I don't know where things are at with what it shows. But yeah, typically, it's Over the Cap is the one I would probably lean to more.
Ben, we'll let you go on this, my friend. Relative to the draft, hard to project out this far, but do you think it's more likely that they stick and pick at 29, or do they try and recoup some more assets here on day two?
Well, the question is, what's the board going to look like when they get closer? You know, the hope, I would think, for them is that there's a third quarterback or a fourth quarterback that emerges that potentially goes in the first round. I know Jackson Dart is the current, like, sort of favorite there, and we'll see. But, you know, there's always these quarterbacks. You know, a couple years ago, everybody was talking about Hendon Hooker in the first round, and he falls to the third. And, you know, Geno Smith was going to be a top five pick once upon a time. He fell to the second. So we have to see where things are at. Like, some people don't even think Shedeur Sanders necessarily makes it in the first round. That said, I think that if we get closer to the draft and one of those guys is in the mix, or one or two of those guys is in the mix for teams late in the first round, I think it would make a lot of sense potentially to trade out, you know, move down a handful of picks, get a couple other picks in return, and still probably be in good position to get let's just say a defensive end or offensive tackle in the same general range. So I think though we just have to wait and see. It would be fun to do that now, but no team is logically going to trade up now to say 29 in the hopes that who knows, Jackson Dart could be gone well before then. So I think they have to wait closer, maybe even while they're on the clock. But that would be something I think it's got to be in consideration.
Sure. Ben, appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Get some sleep while you can, because I anticipate a lot of sleepless nights for you coming up here in the next couple of days.
I hear you, man. We'll see. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yep, that is Ben Standing. Make sure you check out his work on The Athletic. I always love catching up with him, one of the most plugged-in guys on the Commanders beat. Lot to tackle. John Allen was just released by the Washington Commanders, and the big reason why it feels like fans here have kind of soured on him is the Commanders' run defense last year, not very good. We'll try to diagnose some of the issues they had against the run when Ted Nguyen of The Athletic joins us next, one of the best X's and O's film guys in the National Football League. He joins us next. We'll talk to him about the Commanders' run defense as well as some potential targets in the NFL draft. Ted Nguyen coming your way next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.